Welcome back to the Monochrome Podcast. This is episode 10. We are so excited that you're joining us again. For this episode, you have yours truly, Caitlin here, as well as Keith and JT. You guys, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good.
Doing good.
Love
you. Yeah, we went at the exact same time on that, JT. Sorry about that.
No, it's all good.
We're recording this on a Friday, and I think it's like a double bonus for us because we love podcast days.
It is.
And we love Fridays.
Actually, it's a Thursday.
Definitely a Thursday.
Oh my gosh.
That's how it feels today.
I wish it was Friday.
That's how we're doing.
This is going to set us up well for the episode to come.
That's so funny.
But we got some of your guys' favorite segments. We're talking about some news, what's in our carts. We got an awesome interview with Ty Headley, as well as, of course, our creative challenge. So let's dive right in. Keith, what is in the news today? What are we talking about?
All right. This is a very interesting story, in my opinion. I am, if you don't know this, I am a father of three. Me and my wife have our hands full with a 10-year-old and twin 6-year-old boys. And this is something that's very near to our heart. But I think that it's really an interesting story for the church to discuss. And it's the Georgia social media law that has recently been passed. And it's waiting to be signed by Governor Brian Kemp. Just so you know, these social media laws, which is the intent is to restrict people that are of a minor age from gaining access without parental consent to social media accounts. Georgia is not the first state to try this. Louisiana has done it, Arkansas, Texas, Utah, and of course Florida, of course Florida, because Florida's government is always churning something out. That's why I said that. Florida's law actually goes even more intense than this, but let's just discuss this Georgia law. Mm-hmm. Pretty much what it's saying is anyone under the age of 16 cannot acquire a social media account without explicit parental consent. It also bans social media use on any school devices and internet services. So in theory, what I read in this is that a teacher wouldn't even be able to use a YouTube video in class. Can you import that YouTube video into a Keynote or ProPresenter or whatever and then play it that way? Probably. But and then it also mandates additional education by the school system on social media and internet use for people that are kind of in the age of like 8 to 12 years old. Just trying to get them acquainted with what are some of the dangers and pitfalls out there and what does appropriate use of social media look like. I don't know how well that would work, but it's good to at least give them a heads up and not just, you know, hand them this loaded gun that is a phone with social media and just post and interact however they want to. We all know that we did a lot of things in our teen years that we are not proud of, and we look back on with great shame and think to ourselves, how did I ever think this way? How did I ever think that was acceptable behavior? Whatever it was. Okay, so that's kind of a good rundown of what this law entails. I want to make just an interesting note and open this up for a question and discussion. Technically, right now, according to Pew Research, 95% of teens aged 13 to 17 report using at least one social media platform almost constantly. And so obviously there's a question of why are all these laws popping up from state to state? There seems to be a momentum building of governments addressing an issue that comes with minors' use of social media. And I think that the big question is for the church and for parents out there is what do we do when we see anxiety and depression and suicidal thoughts all increasing in this age group, and then we see something like Pew Research say that over 95% constantly use at least one social media platform. How is it that the church can address the problem that these laws are trying to address?
Well, I want to start right off by saying that I did not know for so long that the minimum age for social media use was 13. I think when I signed up for a Facebook account way back in the day when it, you know, kind of became public, I remember seeing it there. But as I grew up, I became an adult, I had no clue that that was still like the minimum age. So for states to come out and say, we want to make that age older because of the effects it's having. I worked in a nonprofit where we studied this and we talked about the studies done on this. And we worked with teens facing anxiety, depression, suicidal ideation. Social media and all that screen time is tied to all that mental health stuff. So I kind of say kudos to these states, that's my opinion, for trying to do something to help. But when it comes to the church, I mean, it seems obvious, but youth groups, keep doing what you're doing with the activities and the game nights and the small groups, like all those activities that get these kids to come together and literally just talk to each other or to get them off their phones and iPads. It's huge. Like that helps so much. But then when you put positive stuff on their devices for them, I think that's a big deal too. And I know it's not so much just social media oriented, like we're talking about with this law, but man, if you're looking at how does our children's ministry do better, because it is children, like kids 12 and under are still just making up birth dates to get social media accounts. But as you're planning your kids' activities and your kids' programming, just keep doing that in-person stuff as much as you can where you get to put the phones away.
Yeah, I think, you know, when you look at the next generation and even my generation of not having grown up with this kind of technology, but the technology was emerging as I was growing up, we kind of now have a clearer picture of what the effects of it are and what it looks like. And I think even more than just kids, like, you know, I'm a new dad. And so my daughter's about to turn a year old and I see reels all the time where the reels are like, put your phone down, like go be with your kid. Like it's so easy to like, as adults think that you have a free pass or even for me, like a marketing person who a huge part of my job is like social media and stuff, to kind of give yourself a pass to be on your phone on social media all the time, you know, because you got to keep updated on the trends and on the, you know, on the newest hashtag or the newest song that's coming out or whatever it is. And it's like, no, there is more to life than your phone. And it's only natural that our kids are going to have a hard time with that when the parents are having a hard time with it.
Yeah, we have social media telling us to get off social media. Like, what?
Right.
That's not good marketing, right, JT? No.
It's very ironic, yeah. I think it's so, it's really funny because you just have so many different facets of this and there's like church hustle culture. So it's like, get on social media, like do the liking, do the commenting, all that stuff. But then also it's like, there's real community and there's real like people around you and your neighbors and stuff. Like people used to go and talk to their neighbors. They don't like, I don't even know who my neighbors are, but I know who one is just because he's wild and out there, but well, that's beside the point.
I want to ask a really tough question. And Keith, I'm going to put you on the spot.
Do it.
Have you as a parent had a conversation, at least with your daughter, because she's the oldest, have you had a conversation with her about social media or about screen time?
The word no is frequently used in our household. And so I think that while we have not actually talked about social media, because in our minds, we're not even close to entertaining that thought.
Yeah.
And so we're not ready for that conversation. But when it comes to technology use, we have certain rules in our house, which is that if tech is being used inside the room, the door has to remain open. That we prefer anything done on devices to be done in a more public area of the house. We try to limit, you know, how late they can be on them. And something that we haven't quite yet implemented, but is something that we probably pretty soon will be, is that when my daughter goes to sleep, that her phone sleeps in my room. And we'll do that all the way through, till she is out of the house, just because, I think that one of the things that this, in addressing this law and the concern about the mental health of our kids and our teenagers, is just do use the wisdom that God has given you as the guardian to raise up this child in your home. And I think most parents, good parents, want that. And I do want to kind of encourage parents here and just say that if conversations like this discourage you, don't let it do so. You love your child more than anyone else in the world. You want what's best for them. And if anything, this is just an encouragement to just do the best that you can do. It doesn't mean that you will spare your child from every possible harm that could, you know, come upon them. But that's because they're really truly in the hands of the Lord. And our job is just to exercise wisdom in raising them in a world that honestly is still kind of an experiment of what is it like for people to grow up, you know, disconnected physically, but connected digitally. So, yeah. I don't know if that answers your question, Caitlin.
It does. Thank you. And I will say that's great. You are a good parent to have those rules. And if anyone listening to this works in the church, I mean, I don't even think they have to work in youth ministries or children's ministries. You know that there are the parents out there that don't think it's a big deal, don't think there needs to be a conversation, or just flat out don't care. And it's so hard, I'm sure, being a pastor in those roles, knowing that. But I would encourage all the pastors listening out there, all the creatives, communication team leaders, like, how can we help our churches have these conversations with those kids and even the parents and adults in our church? Because a lot of people just don't know. They don't have the knowledge or, like I said, they don't think it's a big deal. But sometimes
I think
we're called to step in.
Yeah, I think there's two ways to lean in with this, like from a church perspective and a creative perspective. Is one, if you're someone who is putting stuff, a pastor, editing shorts for your church, making content for your church, if you're one of those people who's educating your body online, keep this in mind. You know, often art is the greatest catalyst to point out some of the flaws in society and in culture. Mm-hmm. And so use that power of creativity to like draw attention to that and to point it out to people. Like I said, those reels where they're like, get off your phone, it'll like show a side by side of like a parent on their phone and a parent off their phone with their kid, and vice versa. It'll show a kid who's on their phone a lot and versus a kid who's not. And so I think it's indisputable that too much social media, maybe any at all, is pretty bad for you, but just modeling that well. And then two, as a church, like finding ways, how can we encourage and equip parents and kids to have other alternatives from just staring at your phone all the time and being, you know, kind of stepping up and being better in that way.
So. And this is coming from two fathers. So you can't say, well, they don't know. You know, kids want constant entertainment. They do know.
And
they understand.
A youth pastor.
And a youth pastor,
which,
yes.
Keith which, was a youth pastor. I do want to put one last punctuation on this, and it is preach and teach the word in your home, in your ministries. The gospel needs to be the message because it addresses all the concerns of the heart that create these negative spiraling feelings. Mm. When we are rooted in Christ, we don't spiral downward. We spiral upward. We are filled
Keith.
With the abundant life. We're filled with joy. But when we are constantly inundated by the messages of this world, we spiral downward. So address the messages of this world, but do so with the power of the gospel, because that is the hope of changing this trend of the diminishing mental health of teenagers.
Man. Yeah. Well, for those of you who know you have healthy boundaries, you put your phone on DND or sleep mode at night, you don't charge it right next to your head. You know, for those of you who are like super good with your phones, JT's got a great recommendation of some beer for your phone.
This is kind of a flip here.
We're going to segue into great ways to use your phone well.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I would say everything in moderation. We talk a lot about like content creation, how to get good content for your church. Do you need fancy gear for that? Do you need the latest, greatest Canon, you know, whatever they've got out lately? And for a lot of churches, they do, and they have the means to do that, and they have the people and the time to learn those things. But for a lot of us, we don't have the time to learn it or the budget. And so we're just trying to find small ways to do things just a little bit better. Mm-hmm. And the reality is your phone captures in 4K. It has f-stop that you can actually go back and change later, which I don't know of a camera that can do that. It's got some pretty powerful features for video and photo that you can do pretty well with it for content creation for your church or just in general. And so there's something, though, that a lot of people will do to try and beef up their content creation, and that is get little lenses to, like, get either, you know, zoom-in lenses or macro lenses or fisheye lenses or that kind of stuff. And a lot of the stuff you look up on Amazon, if you look this up, is kind of cheapy, just kind of clips on your phone. If you don't get it clipped on just right, it's going to look kind of warped. And if you run on a gimbal, which there are phone gimbals out there, which I think are super cool and I love using them, the extra clip can kind of get in the way. And so, so I found an alternative, or actually a upgrade. It's called Shop Moment lenses. These will be, I'll put a link in the show notes, but basically these are really high quality lenses. They kind of run at $150, which compared to a real lens is extremely cheap, but compared to the Amazon lenses is a little bit pricier. They have some very cool options. They have anamorphic lenses. Am I saying that right, Keith?
Yes.
Okay. Anamorphic lenses, which if anyone is in the film world, they know that that's kind of the gold standard. They have fisheye lenses, macro lenses, micro lenses, like all kinds of different cool options. But what makes them very, very unique is they actually have a case that you put on your phone and the lenses will screw on directly over the lens. So you won't have like this weird clipping showing up. You won't have the lens not quite fitting right or falling off. It won't be bulky and in the way. It screws in kind of like a real lens and locks in there. And so that's a very, very cool feature to have. So they have a handful of different options.
I think we should be very open in saying that all of us personally have wanted to go buy this equipment.
Yes.
We have all been like, we're going to go shopping
and
today.
Some of us have.
And some of us
have.
Oh,
do you have some, Keith?
No. We sold my lens at one point because I got the Sony over here. But I used it to make some youth group videos a while back. And I got a wide angle, and my buddy Josh Waller, shout out, got the anamorphic, and the anamorphic lens is gorgeous. So you need to know these are high quality lenses, and they have a case for every type of phone that you have. So it doesn't matter if you have the Pro or the normal, or if you have an old iPhone, they have cases to make it work for your phone. So it's legit.
Well, everyone, have very as much cool. fun shopping their website as we did. As JT said, that the link is in the show notes. Don't spend too much. That's all I can say.
L-Acoustics, a leader in audio technology, offers cutting-edge sound solutions for houses of worship. Their Alisa Immersive Hyper-Real Sound transports congregations beyond the ordinary with an immersive soundscape, putting everyone inside the message. From cozy to grand-scale sanctuaries, L-Acoustics tailors sound designs to meet your specific congregation or worship space, ensuring quality meets affordability. With L-Acoustics, you'll never have to sacrifice sound quality. Learn more by clicking the link in the show notes.
So our fearless leader, Luke McElroy, sat down with Ty Headley the other day, who's a content creator, and he shared a little bit about how to create for your church and how to create for your pastor. Take a listen.
All right. Well, welcome to the Monochrome Podcast, Ty. This is like an on the road edition for me. Excited to connect. How are you doing, man?
Man, I'm doing really well. I'm excited to connect with you too. And, you know, we joked a little bit about it. You being in the hotel and being moving around is quite the journey. But no, I'm excited, man. I love the background. I love the hotel vibes.
I love it. So Ty Headley, social media genius. Give a little snapshot, give a little insight as to sort of what you're working on, kind of the church that you're involved with, and maybe just a little bit of a history of kind of how you got to where you are today.
Awesome. Well, yeah, I don't know if I would go as far as to say that I'm a genius, but I do love the idea.
Go look up his Instagram. You'll love it.
Oh, man. No, ever evolving, trying to be a student of the game. And that's what I see social media as. It's an ever evolving game. It's not necessarily the thing that needs to be taken so seriously in the sense of like, oh, I have to be an expert and I have to do, no, just keep trying things, keep learning, keep growing. And that's actually how I got here, to be honest with you. I started creating content when I was 12 years old. I was creating videos of myself. Prior to being a content creator, I was a hip hop and break dancer, so professional dancer, and I was traveling around the US doing these different events and these different pop-ups, and I was performing. But while that was happening, the Twitter and YouTube boom started to happen, and so I was posting all kinds of content on my YouTube page and using my Twitter to drive traffic to that, and started to build an organic audience around some of the things that I was doing. And then, you know, fast forward, and I'll kind of get into the church I'm involved with and how that all came about, but fast forward to turning 18 years old, from Omaha, Nebraska, and I decide I wanted to move to Los Angeles, California.
That's
and
a change.
Like most people that move, you know, a huge change. For me, so my upbringing was a little bit different because I did travel when I was young. I would go to different cities, larger cities, and Los Angeles was the primary city that I would travel to for a lot of the events that we did. So I got to see it from a young age, and I kind of grew up really quick because when you're on the road and when you're exposed to a lot of different environments, you kind of learn quick, and you, you know, you get exposed to a whole lot of different things that, you know, cause you to grow up quick. But anyways, the content creation continued, and I just wanted to do it more and more and more. And I moved to LA to pursue a career in production, to pursue a career as an actor, and really just the entertainment industry at large. And I got around a lot of people that were making Vines at the time. And shout out to anybody that remembers Vine. If there's any OGs. Any OGs that know about Vine. When I was coming up in LA, when I was young, man, 18, it's crazy to think back over, is that coming up on 10 years? But I started to make videos with people. They would have me in their videos. And as I was doing that, they would start to say, hey, man, why aren't you making your own videos? Why aren't you creating your own skits and sketches? And so I decided, you know what? I want to pursue acting. I want to pursue production. Let me start to produce my own skits and produce my own videos. And so I started producing videos right when Instagram released their video format. And we were making videos. Me and my best friend who moved out to L.A., He was the cinematographer, editor, director, you name it. He was doing it. And then I was on front of the camera, as well as behind the scenes editing and producing these skits that we were making. And we started to grow a big following doing that. And for context, this is how I'll work the church thing in. Christian my whole life, but never really knew what it meant to walk with the Lord. I didn't know what that actually looked like. And so I was a Christian, but I was in LA pursuing this content creator dream and pursuing, you know, all these different things in the entertainment industry. And ultimately, I got really far off the deep end and started doing all kinds of stuff that led me down different paths. And finally, my friend said, hey, we need to find a church. Let's go find a church. So we tried a few out. And then lo and behold, I end up at this church called One. And that's where my whole thing with my production, my content creation, ministry, all of this started to fuse into one place. And I'm really sparing a lot of details. But, you know, I think for the sake of time, I found myself at this church where I never had experienced what it meant to really feel the Holy Spirit in a way that was real, in a way that was tangible and relatable. And that felt as if everything that the preacher was speaking about was speaking to me. And it ultimately led me to serve. And so I picked up my camera. What I knew to do was pick up the camera and just start shooting. And that was kind of the directive from my pastor was, hey, like you edit, you shoot, you create content, create some stuff for us, you know, create some stuff for the church, create some sermon clips and sermon content. And that was right when sermon clips started to roll out on the internet and we just went at it. And I started shooting and editing all kinds of sermon clips for my pastor, and I've been doing that. And I still, to this day, help him out. And there's a little bit more of a backstory, but he happens to also be my father in love. And so there's so many different elements to it, but
that's awesome,
I know,
man.
It's crazy. But all of it, like even the content creation side of things, you know, I didn't know that moving to LA to pursue this dream of being, you know, a quote unquote influencer and in the entertainment industry and producing films and doing all the things that I wanted to do would lead me to find ministry and ultimately find how all of that worked together for my calling. And now everything that I would have thought, oh, well, this doesn't have to do with ministry. It actually does. And so God worked everything together for good in my life. And now I'm seeing how my production background, my content creation background, being able to edit, produce, and distribute pieces of content that are unique to whatever the given situation is, in this context, church, was able to be applied. And so the church I work for and that I work with primarily is one church, one, a Potter's House in LA, led by Pastor Torre Roberts and Pastor Sarah Jakes Roberts. We have an incredible leadership team, and I do primarily all of the social media content creation and production and distribution with our team. So,
all right. So for context,
that's the longest way.
Yeah. I love it. So for context here, how many different accounts do you feel like you're managing right now, and how much content, just spitball, do you think you're kind of putting out on a weekly basis?
On a weekly basis, anywhere from, wow, probably 10 to 15, or maybe even more, to be honest with you. And this is just video content. So 10 to 15 different unique pieces of content across 3 to 4 different channels. It depends. And that's just on Instagram, not to speak about TikTok or if we're doing YouTube Shorts or any of the other things. But that's my primary function right now. And so that's a lot.
All right, so let's dive in, okay? So obviously, I want to sort of glean as much insight as we can from you, Ty, on just practical tips that you may have for the church when it comes to how do we make better content. And I really want to ask, you know, you can give kind of whatever answer you want to that question, but maybe also, how do you do it without a big budget? How do you do it without lots of new equipment? Oh, what are sort of your tips, tricks, insights there?
Okay, first and foremost, I can almost guarantee that everybody has one of these.
iPhone right now, yeah.
And if you don't have one, somebody else on the team might. And the beautiful thing about this is we can shoot anything and everything on our iPhones. When I first started creating content, I started with my phone, and then we moved to a DSLR, but you don't have to have some kind of fancy equipment. It's all about storytelling. I think that's the thing that if I were to give any piece of advice to the church, what's the story you're telling? We have one of the, and you guys actually, this was on a podcast that you guys shared, but someone was on, I think it was the Worship Problems podcast, one of the hosts from there.
Yeah, yeah,
and he said that we have one of the greatest, yeah. So Brian said, we have one of the greatest stories ever and we need to tell it. What if nobody heard it? What if nobody, you know what I mean? So I think about whenever I create a piece of content, what's the story that this is telling? Is there something that the audience, the viewer, the person can take away from this piece of content? And if the answer is yes, then it's worth putting out there. And so I think you can start right where you are. You can start with your iPhone. And there are many ways to do it. There are many ways to look at different trends, look at different things that are happening on the internet. Or if you're at your church and there's different things that people don't typically know about, that's a story. What goes into shooting and producing your, you know, your sermon? What goes into your pastor's routine? How does he function or she function behind the scenes? You know, all of those different things can be recorded, because I wholeheartedly believe that everything is content if we see it the right way. Even if it came down to you walking around recording all the different elements, you walking into the church, you at maybe the children's facility, you at one of the production rooms or wherever you are, and just recording it and then doing a voiceover, having somebody on the team do a voiceover, those kinds of things will really translate. And a lot of people are interested in that because it's kind of this mystical, like, you know, Oz type of thing where it's behind the curtain. A lot of us don't know what's happening, but we have the unique opportunity to reveal the curtain, to open up the curtain and say, hey, look, this is what's going on. And maybe, just maybe, it'll inspire somebody else to want to get involved in the church world, or maybe it'll inspire them to want to get involved in production. So we've all got stories to tell. And I think that's where we should start, is by telling better stories.
I love that. I can only imagine all the footage that's on your phone that you probably are like having to filter through. I mean, how do you keep some of that stuff organized, Ty? Like, if you're shooting stuff, it sounds like what you're saying is just start recording lots of things. I mean, it may become a story. You never know what's going to hit. How do you keep all that organized? What's your process once you capture before you actually get into sort of editing and posting?
For sure. So I've got a few different means of storing this. When it comes to the footage, it's definitely Dropbox. We have a Dropbox account that our entire church staff uses, and we have the different folders. Now, granted, I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not the most organized person, but there are incredible people on our team who are far more organized than me. So whenever I upload things, they can, you know, separate it into the right folders and put it in places where it needs to be. And that's kind of our archive where all the content can be found. And then also hard drives. I keep a 2 terabyte Samsung, what is this one called? The rugged hard drive. I just keep it on me because if I need to in any moment, store the footage, edit the footage, whatever it is, I'll edit that way. But then also, again, coming down to bare bones, if you don't have an iPhone with the most storage, yeah, drop it to your computer, put it on Dropbox, put a file on there. You know, you can use the cloud for storage. I think those are great ways to make sure you're keeping stuff organized and putting it in places where you're not going to lose it.
Are you editing a lot of these videos and clips on your actual phone, or do you prefer to move them to your laptop or other computer?
To be honest, I will kind of navigate between the three different devices. I'll use my laptop from time to time, but I primarily will use my iPad or my iPhone, which realistically the iPad and the iPhone are the same thing. It's just a bigger screen. So I like to edit on my iPad because I can move everything there. And for these social videos in particular, the most easy way, and here we go, let's bring it back to how do we start with no budget or no, you know, no money at all, or maybe no equipment.
Yeah,
get
I love
CapCut.
It.
Like I edit on my iPad using CapCut. And most of the videos that you'll see, if you were to go look at the one, One.Online Instagram, or even Pastor Torre Roberts, or some content on Pastor Sarah's, but more so Pastor Torre, if you look at it, a lot of that content has been edited on my iPad or on my phone on the fly.
I love it. I know that our team has talked a lot about CapCut, so I know it's a pretty powerful program. What other softwares, tools, apps are kind of your go-to? Like, where do you, what's like your toolbox, if you will?
For sure. So my toolbox for social media content creation consists of a few things. Number one is definitely CapCut. I edit primarily every video using CapCut because it's quick, it's easy, it's on the fly. They have different functionalities, and the desktop version is actually pretty robust if you decide you want to, you know, move things over to your computer. And they're continually developing it, so it's exciting to see what they're doing in that. But then also I use Canva. One of the questions that I think you had to do with graphic design and video and how do they work hand in hand. I think graphic design is something that you absolutely need when it comes to creating videos, because your thumbnail or your frame, your first frame, is crucial. That cover image might be the thing that when it gets on the explore page sells, if we're talking about, you know, that term, sells the video for somebody to want to watch it. The consumer on the other side is like, oh, that's intriguing, I want to watch that. And sometimes you need a unique graphic design that you can create in Canva. So I use CapCut, Canva, and what else do I use? Those are the two primary ones that I'll use, to be honest with you, when it comes to most of my content creation. And it's evolved over time. I've edited in Premiere, I've edited in Final Cut, but I now have really settled into using CapCut, using Canva, and being able to do things on the fly.
Oh, I love that. And that was going to be my next question, was kind of how those two play. So I love that. When we think about content creation, maybe specifically when it comes to sort of social media, what do you feel like, Ty, is like the number one priority? Like, is it quality? Is it quantity? Is it compelling content? Is it catchy design? Is it a good caption? I mean, what is the like thing, if you're like, hey, Luke, if we're going to put one priority onto something, this is going to be it.
Yeah. I think the number one priority, and there's two. So I'm going to give you the first one, and then I'll give you the second one, because you will get the second one the more you do the first one. The number one thing that content creation requires is consistency. And if you're consistent, even if you're just starting out, even if you're just learning how to create content, you're just learning how to work CapCut, or you're just learning how to work any editing software, it's consistency, because it's just like going to the gym. You have to work those muscles out. You have to get stronger and better with every piece of content that you create. And sometimes you have to fail. You have to put something out there and it might not get any engagement. It might just flat out flop. But the more you do it, the more confident you become in it. And the more confident you become in it, then your quality can start to go up and up and up and up, because the more you do it, the more you get familiar with the programs, with different editing techniques, and just, you know, better storytelling techniques. I think you get better the more consistent you are. So the number one thing is consistency. So
you're talking and like regularity, right? Like posting on a regular basis.
Yeah, posting and creating on a regular basis. I think sometimes even for those who are maybe building volunteers and you have people who, you know, are very green, they're just starting out, they don't know what it looks like to edit a video, get them in a rhythm of creating, get them in a rhythm of doing things, and then teach them, hey, maybe if you tweak this, or hey, maybe if you do this, this content will translate better. Or hey, if you use this sound and you, you know, play with the levels here, it actually would be better. And so it's all about the learning process. So I think if you're consistently putting out content, that's great. But just getting in a rhythm of creating, first and foremost, if we go to bare bones, is definitely the number one priority.
I love it. All right. So you said there are two. What's that second one?
A second one is quality.
Okay. Without so consistency. Doubt, and then, because I was gonna push you, Ty, and say, are we talking consistency on style or brand or type of video or type of content? You're kind of stepping into that.
Yeah. So I think you discover that. If you already have that established, I think that works into your consistency. But if you are just now getting started and you want to figure out how to create content, how to make stuff look good, or how to make stuff feel good to the audience, you got to try stuff out and see what makes sense and see what resonates with people. And from that, it's like analysis. You want to go back through and say, what worked here? What could I change here? What could I tweak here? And it's a process. So I think you first get the consistency thing. And as you become consistent, quality will follow, because you're going to want to get better with every piece of content you create. As long as you're doing the step-by-step of I'm creating, I'm producing, I'm distributing, and now I'm analyzing. How did it perform? Did I like the video? Did I get great responses on the video? And, you know, I think that that's what drives you to want to make the quality even better the more you start to create content.
I love it. Man, we have just a little bit of time left. I want to get to this question because I know that you're passionate about this. What do you think is the most important thing that someone listening, someone in the SALT community can do to sort of stay healthy as a creative in the local church, right? I mean, there is, you could probably, especially in social media, you could constantly have more content. You could constantly work harder to make a little bit more quality, or to be a little more consistent, or to follow your pastor around more, or to find that, you know, creative angle. How do you stay healthy? What insights, thoughts do you have on that?
Oh yeah. Man, this is an ever evolving battle for every person, especially content creators or people who feel like they want to create content, because you want to always be better. You want to always create something new. There's always a new trend. There's always something that we could fix our minds on and stay busy with. But the truth is, I believe that you produce out of who you are. And if you're not healthy, if you're not well, eventually that's going to translate. You're not going to be able to think well. You're not going to have the best thought or the clearest thought to produce or to create. And so I think for me, what it comes back down to is I have to, because we're talking specifically, I think, to church creatives, and I would assume most church creatives are believers. And so it comes down to how is your walk with God? Are you getting still? Are you getting the time that you need every day in some way, shape, or form? Maybe you don't have an hour that you can dedicate to that prayer and that devotion time, but what does that look like for you? Because I think we can easily overlook how we're actually doing. We can easily overlook how we're feeling. But the one who knows everything about us has a report for us every day. Okay. And so when you check in, it's like the Lord's Prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. What's my daily bread today? God, what do you want me to focus on today? How am I supposed to move today? Because some days it might be about rest so that you can receive what you need to create that piece of content. Or it might be about you, you know, getting out of your environment, out of your space to go get inspired by creation, getting out into nature. There's different things that I think you can do. But if you're not healthy, if you're not well, if you don't prioritize your well-being, it's eventually going to translate to the content. And that's the type of stuff that leads to people getting burnt out, people getting tired, people being uninspired or unmotivated. So you got to take care of you. And I'll leave it with this. There's a passage that talks about, and they're asking Jesus, what's the most important commandment? And he says, the first and most important is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and strength and soul. So, okay, great. We love him. And then he says, and like it, love your neighbor as you love yourself. But the sequence there, as yourself, love yourself. So how do you learn to love yourself? You learn to love yourself, again, by, like what I said, prioritizing that time with God, receiving his love for you, receiving his refreshing, receiving his wisdom. Because God will give you wisdom. God will give you ideas and creativity, because he's the ultimate creator. And so loving yourself looks like sitting with him, learning how to love yourself, and then prioritizing whatever you need to make sure that you're healthy and well and can produce from a place of overflow rather than from a place of being depleted.
I love it. There's your pastoral moment right there. Come on, Ty. You know, what's so funny is you brought up that passage in scripture, and I was actually thinking about that when you said, well, I'm going to give you two, not one. And Larry was thinking, well, this is exactly what Jesus did when he said, what's your number one commandment?
Right.
So anyway. Ty Hedley, thank you, sir. Thank you, friend. How can we connect with you? How can give just a little snapshot of your Instagram and some of those that you lead?
For sure. So I would first say, especially for young adults out there, if you are a young adult and you are trying to figure out this purpose thing, you're journeying to become everything God created you to be, and you're like, man, I need people, I need community, I need to be stimulated by creatives that are doing things, check out at We Are Gen 1. We Are Gen 1. That is our young adults movement that I lead with my wife. It's a podcast. It's a community. And there's so many great resources that you can tap into. And so make sure you do that. That's a great way to directly connect with me. And then also, if you're looking for my personals, if you want to see some of the stuff that I'm creating and producing, go check out at Ty Hedley, TyHeadlee. And then from there, you can kind of see everything. Everything's kind of on there. But those are the
all right.
Two
I hope we see a breakdancing video dropping soon.
Oh, you got
socials.
It.
Let's go.
We might need to film it when we get together.
I know. I love it, man. I love it. Ty, thank you for your time. I'm so grateful. Make sure you check out his Instagram stuff. It really is pretty inspiring. So thank you, brother.
Thank you.
That was such an encouraging word from Ty. We are so grateful to have had time to sit down and have him and Luke talk. If you guys don't know, if you're maybe new to the SALT community, we have some amazing friends here at SALT. Some amazing voices, people who do what you do, who are experts in these different fields, and people like Ty that all come together once a year for SALT Conference. This year, it's SALT 2024. We're going to be in Dallas, Texas, October 16th through 18th, and we Woo-hoo. Would love for you to join us. It is always such a fun time. It's a little bit of a party, mm-hmm. but you're also, we want, our goal is to equip, engage, and connect you with others who do what you do. But I want to do a little reveal here. You can check out all the details about the conference coming up at salt2024.com. But I want to tell you guys, we have amazing workshop tracks that we do. And the tracks this year are creative process, digital media, graphic design and film, leadership, production, and worship. So if you work in those fields or you are interested or you want to learn more in those areas, you've got to come to SALT. Again, check out the details, more info about our friends and speakers who will be there at salt2024.com.
Very cool. Can't wait for SALT this year. But now it is time for our creative challenge. So have any of you seen those videos where an artist will be like, I'm giving myself 10 seconds to draw a picture of Mickey Mouse or something.
I love those. Yeah. They're so fun.
And then they'll give themselves like 30 seconds and then like a minute. And you can kind of see, you know, like a really usually kind of bad drawing and then an okay one and then a really good
Turns
one.
Turns into a masterpiece.
So, exactly. So this week's creative challenge is whether you're an artist, a drawer, a designer, a video editor, a lighting manager, director, any of those things you can kind of apply this to, but take whatever you're working on, and you could pick something that you're already working on for this Sunday or just find something else just random that you want to work on and try to make it, design it, light it, whatever, in like 10 seconds, like as quickly as you can. And it's going to be terrible, but just do the best you can and then give yourself like 30 seconds so you can add a little bit more detail, but you want to have a finished product at the end. So really like bare bones, and then give yourself like a minute and a half and kind of scale up time until you're up to like 30 minutes to an hour that you've given yourself to work on this. And you can kind of see, it's a good exercise to take things from the simplest possible iteration of it to the most complex, most involved version. And maybe that most involved version is not as good as your middle, you know, 30 second
It's
version
supposed to be terrible in the beginning.
Yeah. Well, yeah. What I was going to say, JT, so, is that my 30 minutes of drawing Mickey Mouse is not even going to look as good as the 10 seconds of an actual artist. Yeah. So it doesn't matter
counts.
How much time you give me. I'm only making it worse.
That's very true.
It's good effort.
So that is a challenge. We're going to all give it a shot as well. Do a video time lapse or something. Share your different outcomes and use the hashtag Salt Creative Challenge on social media. And we would love to see those, and you'll get to see ours.
Post them.
Well, thank you all for joining us again for episode 10 of the Monochrome Podcast. We're so glad that you're here with us. We hope that this gives you a little bit to talk about with your team, a little bit of chit chat that could happen over lunch, team lunch, but also that you feel a little encouraged and inspired to go off and try some new things. That's what we love about our creative challenges. Don't forget, if you are not subscribed, you can subscribe so you never miss an episode when they come out. And also, we would love and appreciate those 5-star reviews as they help us reach other communities, other local churches who maybe need a little bit of wisdom or knowledge dropped on them every once in a while. So subscribe, give us 5 stars, and we'll see you next time.